In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Each gospel begins with the baptism of Jesus. Only Luke begins with Christmas at Bethlehem. But each gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all very early in their books, record Jesus at the Jordan. So the event is very significant. Baptism is the beginning of Jesus' public work as the Messiah. Now, to be sure, Jesus always was the Messiah, the Lamb of God, our substitute. Everything he did from infancy all the way through adulthood, he did to save you. And so we are curious about those details of what he was like as a child, from age about 12, where we hear about him ever so briefly, to 30. But really, those details are unimportant. St. Luke records, "And he went down to Nazareth with Mary and Joseph and was obedient to them in all things." So what is important about Jesus' early life that we have no idea what he was like? What is important is he was perfect in all things. He perfectly obeyed his mother and Joseph in all things. But now baptism, this baptism at the Jordan began a new stage of Jesus' earthly life. It put him squarely in the crosshairs of Satan. Baptism publicly anointed him as the Christ, your substitute, your God, and your Savior. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove and lighted upon him. God the Father declared him to be his beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased. The Father is most certainly pleased with his Son, for he had come to work out your salvation. He willingly is heading toward a cross so that you might be saved from death and hell. This is the Father's will, and this is also Jesus' will. Baptism is the public announcement that Jesus is your substitute. So only now, after his baptism, does he begin to preach and to teach, revealing himself as the Son of God. After his baptism, only now he begins to do miracles, showing that he truly is God. And only now, after baptism, does he have one purpose, one goal in mind, a journey to a cross. Baptism has anointed Christ as your substitute in the most public of way. God the Father spoke from heaven. St. John could not deny it. All those who witnessed could not deny it, for they too saw and heard. Sin-filled water streamed down our Lord's back, for on that day he became your substitute, picking up your sins from those filthy waters. But more, he doesn't just carry your sins, but as Paul writes to the Corinthians, he becomes your sin for you. He becomes the very curse, the very punishment of the law, so that he might endure the curse and the punishment. Soon he will be rejected by God. Soon he will be left in darkness by himself, forsaken by his beloved Father. Soon he will suffer even the pains of hell, all for you and your salvation. But in that moment, as he stood in those waters, St. John did not understand these things. He knew Jesus was perfect, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But he did not understand why that perfect Lamb of God had to receive a baptism of repentance. He had no need for it. And he was right. Jesus was not baptized for himself, but he is baptized for you, to become your substitute and take your place under the law. And so each one of those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, begin with the baptism of our Lord, even as each one of those Gospels ends with the death and resurrection of Christ. For baptism and his death and resurrection are inseparably linked. Baptism marked a new beginning for our Lord. Your baptism marked a new beginning for you. It is the beginning of everything that you now are. Jesus was washed with your sins and so became your substitute. You were washed with his holy, precious blood. and so are now declared a son of God, born of water and the Spirit. The birth from your mother is gone. The sinful flesh from your father, gone. God did not simply want to fix you up a little bit, but he wanted to make you his own dear child. And so he did not simply give you a little blessings here and there, but he tossed you into those waters to drown, to die, to rise with Christ as a new creation. He did not want a fixed sinner doing his best, but he wanted a holy saint, a beloved son, doing all things to his glory. And so this is your birthday into God's holy family. This is the day that you were made perfect by God. This is the day that you were united to Christ. It didn't matter if you were young or old, or even if you were a believer beforehand. Your baptism is the beginning of what you now are. And if you are a son of God, then you are also an heir. A co-heir with Christ in his glory. An heir not in some future sense that you're waiting for all things, but an heir of the things that even now you possess, now by faith. Heaven is not some far-off country you have to wait for, but heaven is what you currently have by faith right now. For God is your Father right now, and heaven is just as much your home as it is Christ's home. Now you live by faith. Soon you shall live by sight. And so we begin our divine service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We begin remembering our baptism and what God did for us there. We will not approach God in any other way, even as we hold up to God his very own promise of what he did for us in those waters. We will not let him forget that watery promise, for we have come as sinners who have failed. Sons and daughters of God who have not lived those holy, God-pleasing lives, but have dragged his name through the mud. We've been ashamed of his holy word and have sought to soften it to suit society's pleasure. We've fought. We've argued with our spouse and with friends. We've gossiped and lied, and we have just simply been lazy in the tasks set before us. But we still come back. We know what we deserve, temporal and eternal punishment, as we confessed earlier. But we come back not to make excuses or to ask God for a second chance. We come back so we might hear his forgiveness yet again. We come back holding on to God's watery promise. We will not let him forget what he did for us in that font. And the Lord doesn't change. The same God who saved you through holy baptism those many years ago is the same God who still stands before you to speak you righteous yet again. He gives you the forgiveness of sins, for you are still his dearly loved child. I cannot speak highly enough of baptism. It never fails, never falters, never lets you down. It comforts you even on the darkest of days. It is a fountain of life, a bubbling spring which never gets stagnant, never runs dry. Through it, you overcome the mightiest of demons. By it, you conquer the greatest earthly foes. In it, you remain safe and secure. No one can touch you. No disease can harm you. No grief can claim you. No pain or suffering, sadness or heartbreak, no past offense or future burden, none of it can have you. For you are baptized. Through holy baptism, you are more than conquerors. You are not headed toward death, gradually slowing down, but you are headed toward a glorious life. For your baptism and your death and resurrection are inseparably linked. So I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither the present nor the future, neither angels nor demons or any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that flowed over you in baptism. The victory is yours through Jesus Christ, your Lord. So what saves you, Jesus or baptism? Bad question. Baptism and Jesus' death are inseparably linked. Understand the relation between the Lord and the gifts and the way he gives. Jesus alone saves. He won that salvation by his cross. But he doesn't give it to you at his cross. Otherwise, we'd have to go back 2,000 years. He gives it to you in baptism. Baptism saves because Jesus himself is present in those waters to give you the salvation he has won. Here he unites you to Calvary. Here he unites you to his resurrection. Here he strips off from you all sin and clothes you in his righteousness. Here he drives out all sin and implants his Holy Spirit in you, making you his temple. Baptism never fails. Baptism saves because it's the way God gives you his cross. It is the work of God. Baptism protects and defends you because in those waters God tucked you into the pierced side of Christ. Where else has God made you perfect? Where else will you escape death? Where else were you healed from all pain and discomfort and agony? Where else does God remove all burdens and stress and worry and shame? At the font. Admittedly, you don't see any of that right now. You still endure much of it. But right now we live by faith, not by sight. And the time is coming very quickly when you shall see just all the wonderful things God did for you through those waters and how he protected and defended you each and every day of your life. And so the evangelists begin with Christ's baptism because the events before that are really of minor importance. He was perfect. Your life begins at baptism. And what you did before that is really of minor importance. Because what God did for you there, through those waters, well, that is everything. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.